Hey, what's up? You ready? You standing up? You sitting down? You lying down? Got your shoes on? Got your pants on? You all set? You cozy? Okay, here we go.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Yeah, right.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Right. Hold on tight. Okay. Things can get a bit weird.
Really?
If you like that sort of thing.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, some other lesson.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. Uh-huh. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program, every one of you. Pleasure to have you here. Come on, sit in my lap. There you go. Now you're talking. Come on here. I don't want to be accused of public radio sexual harassment, so get out of my lap. Hey, what do you think you're doing? I didn't invite you there. Well, welcome to the program. Later on in the show, a very interesting interview with Dr. Jeff Werber. Oh, Ron, is he your doctor? No, he's a veterinarian. That's what I said, Ron. Is he your doctor? Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's very funny. He's going to talk about taking care of our pets in the winter. Now, that's of significance because, you know, it's freezing outside in the northeast, northern part of the country. Even in Texas, it snowed recently. And your dog's little feet can freeze or, you know, they can step on some of that ice melt stuff, that chemical stuff. That's not good. There's a lot of winter problems with your pets. Is it gay to put boots on your dog and dress it in a sweater or high heels and a tutu? I don't know. There's nothing wrong with that. But we'll talk to the veterinarian, Dr. Jeff Werber. He's the veterinarian to the stars. Oh! That's big stuff. I wish I could say something like that. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if you could walk around and, you know, say I'm the carpenter to the stars. Oh, you make their furniture? Oh, I own a deli. I'm the restaurant to the stars. Oh, I'm the veterinarian to the stars. Oh, I do colonoscopy on the stars. Anyway, Dr. Jeff Werber, the veterinarian, will be with us later in the show, and he may even hold up a puppy right in front of your face. Yeah, that's what you do when you see a puppy.
Aww.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, enough with the sound effects. So, Ron, what are you going to talk about today? All right, don't push me. God, get off my back. Give me some space, will you? I'm going to talk about my mother today. sounds like a therapy session for me, doesn't it? Ron, what do you want to talk about today? Lie down on the couch. I want to talk about my mother. Okay. You oppressed, aren't you? She oppressed you, didn't she? No, she didn't oppress me or anything. Here was a problem with my... She's a wonderful, wonderful lady. Wonderful, wonderful lady. Had a very, very nice childhood. Thank you very much. I wasn't beaten to a pulp or anything like that. My mother had one problem that I could see, and that was that she wore way too much makeup. And you might say, Ron, what's the big deal with that? Well, because to this day in my life, in my past life, in the life that I'm leading, I now have I cringe when I see somebody with too much makeup on, and this is a result of my mother. She wore tons of makeup. Her face was a canvas, and of which she put all kinds of crap on her face and considered it a piece of art. It was not. She had tons of makeup on her face. We used to go to the circus every once in a while when the circus was in town. Otherwise, there was no point in going. And we used to go to the circus, and there would be clowns walking around, and I'd turn around, and I'd see a clown. I'd go, Mom? I couldn't tell the difference between the two. Mom? Clown? I can't tell the difference. They both look exactly the same facially with the makeup. My mother would start by applying foundation every morning. She sounded like she was building a house. She would put with a chisel, she would put on this foundation. My mother was Caucasian, thank you very much for asking. And she would put on Caucasian related tone makeup on her face. This foundation looked like putty. Looked like spackle is what it looked like. It was just all over her freaking face. My mother had freckles. I have some freckles as well. There's nothing wrong with freckles. Dogs have freckles, and we love dogs. So what's the big deal with the freckles? I think freckles are kind of cute. I have a few, not a lot, not as many as she had. She had a lot of freckles. But apparently she was embarrassed by her freckles. She wanted to be freckle-free. Go on, say it with me. Freckle-free. Freckle-free. So she put this foundation on her face. It took quite a bit of time to do that because it had to be applied liberally yet equally all across the face. And then on top of the foundation, she would take this powder, which looked like Caucasian cocaine. And she would put this powder all over her face with this brush, this kind of brushy thing, you know. It looked like a shuttlecock, only it was a brush. And this powder would go over the foundation. We're building a face is what we're doing here. Then on top of that, ooh, I'm cringing just even talking about this because it's just so freaking disgusting. On top of that, she would take a lipstick and put it on her lips, and she would put mascara on her face. She would accent her eyebrows, which I think were still there, with this eyebrow pencil kind of thing, like she was drawing a picture of a face on her face. A little bit of blush, not a lot of it, but just a little bit. You know, you got to have a little bit of blush. And after 6 hours, there was my mother, who is an extremely attractive woman, but I don't know what she really looked like because she had to apply this face every day. At the end of the day, the face had to come off. So she would wash her face in what was like a trough, and the makeup would come off, and I wouldn't recognize her. I used to say, what are you doing in my house? She'd say, I'm your mother. And I said, I had no idea. I had no idea you look like this. She would take this white cream called Noxzema, and she would came in a little blue cobalt bottle, and she would spackle her face with this Noxzema cream. This Noxzema cream had an odor to it. I can't really tell what the odor was. It was specific to Noxzema cream. It was a cross between dead fish and molten saliva. I can't describe the smell to you, but to say it had an odor to it. And she smathered this all over her face. Now she really looked like a clown in the circus because now she's basically doing whiteface, and her face was like white. My father divorced my mother when I was 13 years old, and I never asked him why he did it, or if he was cheating on her, or whatever the case would be, but I didn't ask him because I didn't have to. How could you be married to something like this? Again, the nicest woman in the world, but what's up with this makeup crap? I could never figure that out. Now, that's not where it ended. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a problem with it to that extent. We had a phone in the kitchen. It was called a wall phone. Now, for those of you who were born after the year 2000 or 2005, these were called telephones, and they were little boxes, and they would sit on a table, or you could hang them on the wall. They had dials on them and eventually push buttons. Ooh, technology. And the little box would ring, and you'd pick up this little handle that was sitting in a cradle, and you'd say, hello, and you could actually talk to somebody who wasn't even in your house, who could have been like a block away or on the other side of the country. It was called a telephone. It would ring and everything. That's how you'd know somebody was trying to contact you. I have to explain this to millennials because they have no idea what this contraption is. So we had a telephone in the kitchen. It was the main phone in the house. And my friends would call me. I had friends. Who knew? Who knew? Ron, you had friends when you were a child? Yeah, I know. Odd, but true. It's just hard to believe, Ron, that you ever had any friends. Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was crazy, man. It's a crazy time in my life. This friend thing. I know. It was nuts. It was just crazy nuts. So my mother would say, Ryan, you sound your friend's on the phone. And I would pick up the phone and I'd put the phone to my head, and the earpiece of the phone would be caked in makeup. I mean caked in makeup. It would rub off on my ear. It was just disgusting. It was greasy and odd colors, and it was just a horrible thing. Through my life, I have had this reaction to a person wearing too much makeup, this reaction of cringing and disgust and violent vomiting. I can't stand women in makeup. Makeup is supposed to be applied so that you don't know someone is wearing makeup. That's the idea of it. Oh, is she wearing makeup? I can't tell. I think so. That's a good makeup job. The idea of makeup is not to see that you're wearing makeup. My mother was the opposite. When she wore makeup, you could see it coming. To this day, if a female comes up to me, men don't wear makeup, so I don't have to worry about them too much. If a female approaches me with tons of makeup on, I actually start backing up. Oh, no, stay away from me. No, get that away. Get your face away from me. I'm particularly disgusted by two phases of makeup. I'm disgusted with all phases of makeup, actually, but there's two that really bother me. One is drawing the eyebrows on the face. I don't know if women shave their eyebrows off or are accentuating their eyebrows, but that always bothers me when I'm talking to a woman and she has the same expression on her face because it's painted on. Either it's anger, where the eyebrows slant toward the nose in the middle, or it's surprise, where they are like a rainbow arc above their eyes. One way or the other, it's freaking me out. The other is lipstick. Lipstick freaks me out. It's not normal. People's lips are not that different a color. And I don't know why they do that. I find it to be awkward, and it looks like your lips are bleeding or something like that. It's awful, man. It's awful. Why would anybody want to? Are they kissing you, or are they kissing your makeup product? Is that makeup sex? Is that what that means? Sex with a woman who's wearing too much makeup? Is that makeup sex? I think it is to me. Some women now wear blue lipstick or black lipstick. Okay. Are you trying to look like you were stuck in the Arctic for 6 months and froze your lips off and are about to get frostbite on your face? Is that the look you're going for? That's attractive. That's attractive. Are you going for the goth look? Goth. I got to tell you, that's not great. Goth. Yeah, I'm attracted to a woman who looks like she's celebrating the devil. That's always a turn on for me. I mean that sarcastically, by the way, just in case you can't tell. I have a great aversion to makeup. It bothers me completely. I can't go see... there's a theater in Boston where they have this Blue Man Group. It's a bunch of guys standing on stage beating on drums and water coolers and stuff. And apparently you pay money and you watch them do it. They take toilet paper rolls and they unravel it. And then they say, this is art. Thank you for $40. No, thank you. But they paint their faces blue. And, okay, you know, I can handle the Smurfs on television because they're not real. But when real people paint their faces blue, I got a problem. So I can never see that thing. I've got a problem with makeup. But I don't think it's a problem. I think makeup really is odd. Men don't wear makeup. There was a time in our history, I guess, back at the turn of many centuries ago, where men wore powdered wigs, ruffled shirts, and makeup. White powder on their faces. I'm so glad I did not live then, because that would have been excruciating for me. Men do not wear makeup. They just don't. Why do women? I've talked about this recently on the program. I don't quite understand why women wear makeup. And the woman will always respond to me by saying, we wear makeup because we have to, because we don't look that good. No, what you did was you raised the bar so high with that makeup crap that whatever you look like naturally, you think is going to be horrible. You think you're ugly without makeup. Men don't think that. Men are ugly anyway. You women set the bar all wrong for yourselves to the point where you have to spend hours every day looking like something that you're not. It's unfortunate, but it's like Pandora's box. You can't go backwards. Sometimes I'll go on the Internet of Highway Fun, whatever you call that thing, the International Highway of Internet things. And they every once in a while have pictures of celebrities without their makeup on, with, you know, women celebrities without their makeup on. And I got to tell you, they look horrendous because they set the bar too high for themselves. Christy Brinkley is apparently one of the youngest looking supermodels. She's in her 50s or 40s or something, 50 or something like that, 80. Without makeup, you wouldn't know it's her. Like, ugh. Women have set themselves up to look horrible without makeup because makeup, that's the norm. They've changed the norm. Men don't have to worry about that. Well, that's my makeup dissertation. I mean, I kind of don't get it, and I guess I never will, but makeup's been going on forever. Women wear it, men don't. That's the way it is. Shut up and just live with it. That's the way it goes, baby. All right, it's time to talk to our guest. Do you have a dog or a cat or a fish? In the winter, there's a whole different set of problems for your pets. Because, baby, it's cold outside. And I talked to Dr. Jeff Werber. We're going to talk to him momentarily. He's getting ready. He's putting makeup on. Here's the other thing about the makeup. Ron, I thought you were finished with that. No, just one more thing. Okay, just calm down. Just calm down. I used to do a television show. And for a while, I wore makeup. When the television show started, the lighting in the television studio was very, very harsh. You had to have tons of lighting to do a television show, or the cameras wouldn't pick up the true colors and it would be a little bit dark and stuff like that. So we had to wear makeup, and we actually brought in a makeup artist to put makeup on us. And I would sit in a chair for no more than 3 minutes, and this, you wouldn't put makeup on my face. This guy would put the powder on my face just to smooth out my stuff. I don't know why. But that was so you didn't look shiny, because the lights were so bright. If you sweated just a little bit, which you did in the studio because the lights were so bright, there would be a glare. So they put powder on your face. And there was this woman named Debbie. I can't remember her last name. And she was a makeup artist, and she was with us for quite a few years. And she would put this makeup on my face, and I, you know, this powder, and I would always cringe, like she was, you know, taking a cavity, taking a molar out of my mouth. It was just, I would cringe, you know, like she was giving me a proctology exam or something. But it was just makeup, and I thought it was so odd that here's a guy, me, whose mother was basically a unemployed circus clown. That's what I thought she was, at least. And now, years later, I'm doing a television show, and they're putting makeup on my face every week. And it's just like, wow, what an odd turnaround of events that was. So anyway, so Dr. Jeff Werber is a veterinarian. Ron, man, you're all over the place. I know. I have a dog. At one point, not long ago, I had three dogs. Whoa, man, that wasn't easy. But what to feed your dog? Should you put booties on the dog? Is it cold for a dog? They have fur, but does that make it, you know, are big dogs warmer or colder than little dogs? How do you fold up dogs to put them in little pocketbooks? Do they have hinges on them? There's a lot of pet questions. So we're going to speak to Dr. Jeff Werber momentarily. Is he ready? How long can I, like, waste time before he's ready? Okay. All right. Dr. Jeff Werber, here he comes.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, Dr. Jeff Werber joins us, President and Chief Veterinarian of the Century Veterinary Group. Featured on the Dr. Oz Show, Rachel Ray, Fox and Friends, Inside Edition, the early show on CBS, CNN, Fox News, but more important, he's on this program. Okay, now, we've spoken to Dr. Werber before. We're talking about winter pet wellness, which is an interesting topic because we don't really think about pets as much. We dress for the winter humans, but we don't think about animals too much, do we?
No, we don't. And, you know, we have to think of a couple of things. And let's just, you know, real quickly to talk about dressing. You know, people always make fun when they see these little dogs walking the streets in cold climate with their sweaters on. And I have to tell people, don't make fun. Interestingly, the smaller the dog, the greater their surface body temperature is in relation to their body weight.
Oh.
And they therefore lose a lot of their internal heat to the exterior.
Oh.
So those little chihuahuas and those Yorkies and those little, you know, little terriers, they do need those little sweaters. So don't make fun of them. And actually, in certain climates, it's not a bad idea to put booties on them too, because of the cold. And a lot of municipalities put like chemicals like salt and stuff on the ground to help melt the snow, and that could cause them problems as well. So you got to think about those. And always, you know, if you're going to have to leave them outside, make sure that they have some, you know, shelter from the cold, the outdoor heaters, which are good. Make sure they have water, that the water doesn't freeze over, which often it does. So I'm a big fan of, you know, letting them inside a little bit, let them enjoy the festivities. You know, speaking of festivities, we love to have our pets enjoy the parties with us. And, you know, here we are with Christmas and New Year's around the corner. That we're going to have a lot of commotion in the house. We're going to have family. We're going to have guests. We're going to have noise. We're going to have kids. We're going to have fireworks. Well, guess what? About 1/3 of all dogs in the U.S. actually suffer from something we call noise aversion.
Absolutely.
Or noise phobia.
Absolutely.
And they get very anxious. And, you know, I would say about 50% of people state that their dogs show some signs of stress.
Yep.
During the holidays.
Yep.
And noise aversion, noise stress,
yep,
is really one of them. And, you know, what you might notice in your dog is they'll be trembling, and they may become clinging,
yep,
they may hide,
yep,
they pant, they pace, they may become destructive, they may vocalize, start barking, and, of course, they may try to get out, they may try to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big problem. We want pet owners to be aware of it because it's more of a problem than people might think. And unfortunately, also, with any kind of anxiety, if you don't do something about it, they get progressive, it gets worse. So we have to really do something. So, you know, I always recommend having your pets checked out by a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
There is a product, it's relatively new on the market. It's called Cilio by Zoetis. It's the first and only approved medication on the market,
yeah,
for noise aversion. And so it's really great. It's simple. It's like a oral mucosal gel. It comes in this like large measurable,
oh,
syringe. So you put some right on the, you rub it in their,
oh,
mouth, up in their gums. It's non-drowsy. And it actually is there to calm this noise aversion. So if you you can even give it to them once it already starts. Better if you can anticipate the event and give it to them like 30 to 60 minutes before, then it works even better. And other things I recommend when it comes to dogs that freak out, give them a safe haven. Give them a quiet room, maybe away from all the noise and the commotion. Give them some of their own toys to play with, things that will keep them occupied. Play some, instead of loud, blaring music,
yes,
play some calming, classical music,
yeah,
and they do well with that.
Well, now, see, I had a big house party recently this past weekend, and I had to put my little dog down in the basement, which is fine for her. She loves it down there. But people were almost tripping over my dog continually. When you have a lot of people and you have a small object that's moving around, people can,
right,
get hurt, and so can the dog. So that's,
and so can the dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, no, I think it's a great way to celebrate. You know,
yeah.
Another thing, Ron, I'm sure you probably know this.
Yeah.
If you have dogs and you have friends with dogs.
I do.
But most people now, if you look, right, at how many pet-friendly hotels,
mm-hmm,
pet-friendly rentals,
yep,
right, how many animals you see on planes now traveling with their pets, it turns out that most pet owners, 50%, would like to take their pets with them on their trips.
Yes.
42% will take them on longer trips, 2 to 3 days in a car.
Yes.
And something like last year, close to 94 million Americans took trips in their car.
Yeah.
And many of them, about half, would love... People actually will not take a trip if they can't take their dog with them, their,
yeah,
pets with them.
Yeah, I get it.
That's great. I mean, it's great,
yeah,
because they're truly part of the family.
Sure.
So, and so that's the good news. The bad news is when we think about pets and cars, dogs especially, 11 million dogs will suffer from motion sickness.
Oh.
And, yeah, I mean, so they'll, you know, again, you think of the symptoms. You're going to be, they'll be pacing. They'll be salivating. They'll be licking their lips. They'll be yawning.
Uh-huh.
If you see this in your dog in a car, chances are they may be suffering from motion sickness because it is a big problem. So, again, I always recommend anytime before a trip, you want to see your veterinarian, make sure your pet is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know you have one of these dogs that suffer like this, talk to your veterinarian about Serenia. Serenia is by Zoetis. It's also the first, only FDA-approved medication for dogs for motion sickness, which is great because we don't want people running to the drugstore and buying things that they would use themselves.
No.
So,
as a matter of fact, it brings up another point that I know you wanted to talk about, and that's table scraps, certainly around parties where people just feed the dog. And when you're at a holiday meal, you're going to, you know, the dog is begging. That can be very dangerous for a dog, can't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So when you think of table scraps or anything that's for people, don't think, well, it's good for me.
Yeah.
It might be good. Now, there are some things out there that might be good for the dog, but the doses are so different.
Right.
So instead of, you know, figuring out how to dose, see your veterinarian. But, you know, as far as, Ron, the table scraps, there are so many potential dangers in what dogs get a hold of that I always recommend giving their dog their own treats, their own fun things, if you have to separate them. And also, don't be embarrassed to tell your guest, hey, my dog can't eat blank.
Right.
Whether it's the chocolate, whether and there are so many things around the house around the holidays.
Of course.
It's the ribbons. It's the packages. It's the toys that they get a hold of. It's the candles.
Yeah.
You know, cats, for example, love to play with flame. So they'll knock a candle over. So very important to keep those things in mind when you have the guests. And if you're traveling, you know, talk to your veterinarian. Also, when it comes to travel, I always say be prepared.
Yeah.
So, of course, airlines have different requirements. Mm-hmm. May require a health certificate. Make sure your pet's up to date on their vaccines. Make sure that you have a health certificate if needed, a travel kit, picture of your pets, a microchip, an ID tag. Heaven forbid a dog gets out while you're traveling. You have a picture. And everybody, of course, in fact, most of us probably, and I'm not going to tell my kids this, but have more pictures of their pets on their phones than they do of their kids.
For sure.
So you want to be prepared when you travel as well. And, you know, that way you can have a safe time. So it's Serenia for motion sickness. It will work well. Keep your pets away from the wrong foods. If you have dogs that suffer from noise aversion, talk to your veterinarian about Cilio. There are really great things out there to have fun with your pets and have them enjoy the holidays as much as we
Sounds
enjoy
good.
The holidays.
What's the spelling of the Cilio?
Yes. So the Cilio is for the noise aversion.
Right.
And again, when you think about...
And how do you spell that?
Oh, it's S-I-L-E-O,
okay.
Cilio.
Very good.
And it's a great product for noise aversion.
Yeah.
And again, talk to your veterinarian. And again, don't start running and giving things over the counter.
Right.
Especially when you have something that's FDA approved for pets.
Yeah.
Go for it. Do the right thing.
Excellent. One more question before we part company really quickly here.
Sure.
Changing dog foods. We see commercials on television for all kinds of different dog foods, and they're always more natural and they're always more healthy. But you just can't go changing dog foods all the time, can you?
Correct, Amundo. I mean, basically, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If your dog is eating something that they like, that is giving them energy, a shiny coat, normal, you know, bowel movements, et cetera, then don't switch.
Okay.
If you really, for some reason, have to switch food, you want to do it gradually, give it about a week to 10 days where you start slowly mixing in the new food and slowly minimizing, lessening the old food and making a nice, smooth transition. But remember, people tend to anthropomorphize. So if I want to eat gluten-free, it doesn't mean my dog needs to eat gluten-free. So unfortunately, a lot of these foods are losing those key points appealing to the owner, not necessarily appealing to the dog.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that's what marketing is all about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where do we get more information, Dr. Werber?
At zoetis.com, ZOETIS.com.
Perfect. Always a pleasure.
All right.
Always more information than we can handle. But thank you so much. You take care.
Thank you, Ron. All right. Have a great holiday.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for me today. Hope that was helpful to you. And I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.